It is the 20. I can't get the dates right. This is ludicrous. It's the 15th of August. Now we're near the 20th of August. It's the 15th of August. Get your date straight, man. I'll start again, shall I? Welcome. It is the 15th of August, 2015, and my name is Roger Overall, and this is the Life of a Visual Storyteller podcast, episode 37. And today I'm going to talk about confidence, because confidence is, it's like a superpower, isn't it, for creatives? And with confidence, we can do anything. And without confidence, well, it can be a disaster sometimes. It can be an issue. It can be a real block if we don't have confidence in what we're doing. And this is inspired by a blog post, but with a vlog on YouTube by David Bailey, who, by the way, is someone you should know. He and Tamara, his partner, do a regular vlog about life in Bosnia. And I really like it. It gives me an insight into a region that I know very little about and that I still have a hangover in my mind from the wars there in the first half of the 1990s. And through David and Tamara's blog, I'm learning that it's a beautiful place. It's warm. It's very appealing. It's got some quirks that would drive me nuts. But nevertheless, it seems like a really nice place. And I just love the cultural aspect of the vlog and the daily life aspect of the vlog. And there's a lot to commend it. In a recent episode, David was talking about confidence and he seemed very down. And he was basically talking about how can small YouTube vloggers measure up to the giants on the platform. And he was wondering about audience figures and how to increase audience figures. And I suppose if you've got few follows or little interaction, doesn't mean what you're doing is any good. All these things. And these are things that you and I, any creative, will recognize. Because if we don't have that validation, then is what we're doing really any good? So let's just have a little talk about that. I'm going to give you an example, a story about somebody who is very dear to me, and she is a writer, and she is an excellent writer. I cannot tell you how wonderful her writing is. Yet anything I say about her writing that's positive is dismissed automatically. And, you know, she herself will come up with a billion reasons that she's invented why her work doesn't measure up. And really, they're all just reasons in her head. And if you ask me, they're all nonsense. But she gives these imaginary reasons, the things that she's created in her mind as being reasons why her work isn't any good. They get precedence over anything that I can say. And, you know, let's be honest, that's actually quite human. I think you'll recognize that. I recognize that. So that's not meant as a criticism. It's just a very human thing that we do. So you do wonder, how then do you get any kind of confidence from somebody else? Well, in her case, very recently, her confidence is very high because she was invited onto a writing seminar, a very prestigious writing seminar organized by the national broadcaster in her country. And I've read the story that led her to being invited onto this seminar, which is, it's a fairly exclusive deal. And it's a big thing to be invited onto. And her story is amazing. It's just wonderful. It's insightful. It's tender. It's funny. I mean, it's many, many, many good things. It's just a superb piece of writing. And she's transformed. She's buzzing. I mean, her confidence is high. And all because someone who she doesn't know, somebody removed from her close circle, told her that her work is good. And I think that's one side of a creative's confidence. It's external validation. And the more external, by which I mean the further away the validation is coming from, the better. So confidence from the outside is good. And I think that's part of what David was alluding to in his vlog post. The confidence that to keep going as a creative online that comes from likes and follows and subscribes and so on and so forth. But the problem then is what if you don't have a ton of that sort of validation? I mean, that can make it tough. I think as creatives, we can get very quickly to a point where we start doubting what we're doing is any good at all. If nobody's telling us it's good, then it's a natural reaction, isn't it, to start thinking, well, it's probably not that good. And online, the currency is followers. And the more followers you have, the better. Now, we can quarrel about the validity of that because it's not a statement even I completely believe. But let's not go into that now. We'll maybe talk about it another time. So if that is the case, if getting followers is a way to measure how good your output is, how do you get more followers? Well, the answer is really, 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 really simple. It's incredibly straightforward. Do you want to know what it is? Of course you do. Of course you want to know what it is. you get more followers one at a time. Now, that's not my idea. That's, I think, an idea that Chris Brogan had, or certainly a piece of advice that Chris Brogan passed on, I think, to a friend of mine who in turn passed it on to me. Now, one at a time sounds really dumb, I know, but it's true. There is no way around it. You need to win over each individual subscriber, follower, whatever, one at a time. And as far as I can tell, there's only one way to do that, really, and that's post content regularly. You've got to give people something to follow. And if it resonates with them, then they'll come back for more. And then you have a follower. And then they'll tell more people about you. And they'll come and have a look. And if they like, and if it resonates with them, then they'll follow too. And so on and so forth. So you're gaining followers that way. But I do think that for most of us, that's going to take a lot of time. I think building an online audience is pretty much a long game for many of us. And I don't think there's a guarantee that even if we stick at it for a long time, that we will build an audience of any significance. It's tricky. I don't think there are any guarantees. I think all you can do is put out the best content that you're capable of and do it regularly so people know that there's a point in following you because there's going to be regular content. And obviously publicize the content on platforms and draw attention to it. And then I think it's a case of, well, you've done your bits. You've created the content. You're doing it regularly. You've told people it's there. You can't hold a gun to people's head, can you? I do think it helps for somebody like David to be vlogging about a relatively small niche topic because, I mean, if you Google Bosnian vlog, just see what comes up. You'll quickly find that you're going to be looking at David and Tamara's videos. So that's confidence on the outside. Let's chat quickly about confidence on the inside, which is far better, I think. I think it's a superpower. I think if, as a creative, you've got confidence in yourself, I think that is your superpower. You know, the belief that what you're doing is worthwhile, regardless of what anybody else says. I mean, that is a very strong force to have. Now, you can all argue that that makes you, or it can make you, delusional. Maybe you really are rubbish. And your confidence is misplaced. But really, when you think about it, if you compare how many people actually create original online content with the number of people who don't create anything, then if you create something, if you have done something, you've created it and you've put it online, you are streets ahead of them anyway, because you've actually done it. And besides, look, I mean, why are you creating content? Are you creating content to get a load of followers? Or are you creating content to scratch an internal itch because there's something you deep down really, really want to do? Now, if it's the former, you're just creating content so that you attract an audience and get their validation, I think you're going to run into trouble pretty quickly. But if you're creating content to scratch an internal itch and a desire and a passion and an obsession or whatever it is, and you create something, well, then you've already won because you've done it. Now, whether or not any of this helps, I don't know. I write my blog posts very quickly and I record these podcasts then subsequently very quickly. I kind of riff off what I've written. And that means that a lot of what I say is kind of half formed. They're half suggestions, half ideas, hints at solutions, hints at thoughts, nothing more really. So I don't know how useful this is. However, I do have a desire to be useful. So if I can, and if it's of use to you, let me just say this. If you sometimes lose heart in what you're doing, that's fine. We all do that. And if somebody praising you gets you back on track, makes you feel good, energizes you. That's good too. We all need that. Of course we do. I mean, yes, I'm big on being strong and having internal confidence, but that's not to deny that that external validation isn't important, that you can't draw and get confidence from those external values. I mean, I am looking across my desk here at the bookshelf on the other side of the room, and I can see on the shelves the awards I won for my photography. Do you think that lifted me and gave me confidence when I got those awards? Of course, absolutely. So I'm not denying that external validation is important. So if it comes, embrace it. And also, even if it's one person, because we often think, oh, I need lots of people to see and validate my Instagram photograph, my podcast, my blog, whatever it is. If you just get that one like, then somebody has liked what you've done. Isn't that great? So just take that one like and embrace it. But at all times, you've got to bear in mind that really the only person who can truly spur you on to create great things or to create at all is you. So even in the dark moments when you're doubting yourself and there is no external validation, keep pushing through and create regardless. Keep going. You know, all I can say is please believe in yourself and always believe in yourself. I'll talk to you again soon. Come in, come in. This is the part of the podcast where we talk about the physical side of being a creative, because I'm a big believer that if your body is fit and you're healthy and you're firing properly on all cylinders, that that is going to put you in the best state to create things as well. That's my personal belief. It may be completely wrong, but it's kind of how I like to see the world. So in this part of the podcast, we talk about health and fitness, and particularly the health and fitness that I'm involved with, which tends to be aerobic endurance health and fitness. So I'm training for a marathon, which will lead to a ultra marathon, and then in 2017, a triathlon. That's just to set the tone, just in case you're new here. So I went for a run today. Now, if you've been listening to previous podcasts, you'll know that that's quite a big deal, because I fell earlier this week, skinned my hands, my legs, my elbows, my back. Oh my goodness, blood everywhere. And I tell you what, we're talking about confidence in this podcast, and I lost a bit of confidence in running, and I was very tentative on the road today. I was tentative for two reasons. One was the confidence thing, and because I was just thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to trip again. If I trip again, I'm going to, you know, the wounds are healing nicely, but I don't want to rip them open again. And so there was that. And the confidence was aspect of it was also that I was trying to change my running style. And the reason I want to change my running style is the more I research our running style and how we run, the more I've come to realize that maybe my running style isn't suitable for ultra distance running, and I'm modifying it. So shorter steps, trying to land on the front of my feet and kick off behind me. And it's like re-engineering my running completely from the ground up. And as a consequence, my times have dipped dramatically, but that's okay. ultra runners are not about speed. It's all about the miles and the distance and getting those in your legs. So I did 8K today. I'll probably do 8K tomorrow, but I'm feeling good. Peter Jan, my friend in Holland, who's going to help me do the ultra marathon, he sent through a quick list of possibilities for autumn, late autumn, early winter next year. And one of the ultra marathons is a 63 kilometer run, and it goes through my old university city of Nijmegen in the Netherlands. And not only that, I lived at three addresses in Nijmegen, and the route comes within a gnat's whisker of two of them. So that is hugely appealing, to go back to my university city and to run on the streets where I was a student. I don't know whether that's going to be the one, though. I don't know. But it would be very appealing. I'd actually get quite emotional, I think, at the idea of going back to where I was a student 20 years ago. Anyway, that's where I am today. Nothing really exciting to tell you about, other than that's what I'm thinking about doing. Thanks so much for listening. And I will talk to you again soon. But I'm going to probably not podcast every day, because I want to dedicate some time to other things that I need to be doing creatively. I've got a lot of ideas for stop motion videos, and I've got 4 videos that I need to produce in the next 2 weeks for various people, none of which are going to make me any money, but they're nice projects. They're good projects that I want to do, and they are for good people. So, you know, what more can a man ask for? So I'll speak to you soon. Take care of yourself.